Welcome in. It's Sports Club. Of course, that makes me Jeremy the Impact York. That makes you my amazing listeners. Really do appreciate you guys. I mean, I know I say it each and every time, but I really do. It's fun getting to run into you guys sometimes randomly in public or at events or just when you guys send us messages. We definitely appreciate that. Hopefully, if you're listening to us on iTunes, you are leaving us a rating and review, question, comment, suggestion, all that. We definitely love those. And I guess just overall, welcome. Today's sports club is called Big Money. We will get into why it is called that here shortly. Got one Atlanta United note that I want to talk about for a second. Then we'll do some baseball. We'll finish up with some football, and we will get on our merry way. And I promise next week, a better schedule of these shows coming out. Hopefully it won't be a Friday when these come out. Hopefully it will start being Wednesdays or Thursdays. Day gig has just been long hours lately. It happens. But the Atlanta United thing I want to talk about is they officially signed Emerson Hyneman from the Bournemouth loan from last July. They signed him through 2022. He came in, he played very well. He's a player definitely worth locking up because here soon they're not going to be able to pay everybody. So you're going to see some people shuffled around. Not to mention opportunity-wise. You know, the opportunity to play more, to play certain roles. Guys will move around. In soccer, football, however you want to call it, they move around a lot. So, you know, it's something I tell people all the time. Just because your favorite player is not on your favorite team anymore, That happens sometimes. But they did sign Emerson Hyneman. Like I said, I like the way the guy plays. So he's good for Frank DeBoer's setup. And, you know, it's about time they'll start practicing, getting into all the internet like that. I think those fire up first of the year. Could be wrong. But, yeah, I think that was a good play. And I'm not just saying it because they made it, because there's other plays that I didn't like. I like that one. This is called Big Money. It is called Big Money because it is Scott Boras's world and we are just paying rent in it. My goodness. At least our rent isn't as high as some of the teams in the league. They said in the past week and a half between deals he's done, he has gotten almost $800 million for his clients. And at 5%, do some quick math and figure out what he's clearing there. But let's start with the obvious one. Gerrit Cole to the Bronx. Going to be a Yankee. Grew up a Yankee fan, apparently. I'm perfectly okay with it. That's what the Yankees needed. Pitching has been kind of their issue, Achilles heel, for a couple years. You put Gerrit Cole at the top. You let everybody else just kind of settle where they want to settle underneath him. And suddenly the Yankees are them and the Dodgers, I believe, are perennial are the absolute favorites. But 9-year, $324 million, the big Goliath that is the bottomless pockets of Yankee ownership are back. I'm excited. Maybe I think this year, maybe the Yankees will be playing here in Atlanta for a couple games, so maybe we get to see Gerrit Cole down here. That would be great. Next deal off the block, well, actually this happened before Gerrit Cole had set it all up, but Steven Strasburg is going to stay as a Washington National. We all knew that was going to happen. Well, we didn't know, 7-year, $245 million later. He deserves to get paid. You know, Bryce Harper type money, but Strasburg he's one of the faces of that team. He's a lot of the reason they got as far as they did. I have no problem with that deal. For one, it's not my money. Two, it's not my team. But Strauss was good. You know, Strasburg, he was playoff MVP, right? If he wasn't, he was right there in it. He showed everybody. He went through a rough patch, just like Bryce Harper did. He showed everybody why he was the top pick a couple years back. 7 year, $245 million. Also the same exact money. Anthony Rendon is going to go from Washington to streets of the Anaheim Angels. Angels cash in here. They wanted Garrett Cole. They didn't get him. I think they had a little bit of interest in Strasburg, but they knew he wasn't moving. Rendon, pretty good consolation prize. Best position player that was available. He's a third baseman. I think he can play short. So he can play some other places, but his production is going to be, they're going to have to really try hard to replace what he did in Washington. But out there at the Angels, you got to think, you got Trout, now you got Rendon, you got Shohei Ohtani. Pujols still around. They add a little bit of pitching here and there, and the Angels are at least relevant. I mean, with those four alone, it's worth tuning in a few times. So, but big money for sure. 324 and two of them at 245. That's some big money. And then lastly, there is, people been writing this article. I've seen this two or three times. It's a popular thing in the general area. On top of, it's just fun to speculate these kind of things. Here locally, I don't think they re-signed Josh Donaldson yet, who was the third baseman last year. Some people tend to think that the Braves and Cubs are going to get together and Chris Bryant could be a Brave. Usually I don't like going to fantasy land, but in this case, Chris Bryant to the Braves, that could be quite entertaining. So, you know, Braves fans, keep that in mind, that might happen. Realm of possibility, I'd say probably a 7-10% chance at this point, just because it's pure media speculation. Nobody has heard anything. But, yeah, I just wanted to get into that. That would be exciting. I'd be another. I'm a big Josh Donaldson fan, but, you know, Chris Bryant would definitely help take the load off of the Freddie Freemans of the world and others, and let them just be them. So, I'm not sure what it would cost, because the Cubs are going to want something. They're not going to just take a ham sandwich. But that's a fun little rumor. But, all right, let's get into some football. Then we'll get into my picks. Then we'll get into the picks for the week. I've already picked half the games, by the way. Two of the four, just because they're that easy. Last Thursday, the Dallas Cowboys scored 24 points. The Chicago Bears scored 31. The Bears showed up big for the win. And they did what they had to do. Dallas showed a lot of life and almost came back to win. But you can tell this Cowboys team, if they do make the playoffs, it's just a swan song at this point. It's coaching. Coaching is the issue all the way around. It's coaching. It is. There's too much talent to get this little production. So it's coaching. And I hate it, because JGZ is a good coach, but 10 years and this is what we got. Same argument I have about why Thomas Dimitroff should have other employment. Because you've had 12 years and two coaches, and this is the best you've gotten. So, yeah. But, unfortunately, Dallas couldn't pull that one out. We'll get to Dallas again here in a minute. No. See, this is back-to-back Thursday games. I don't think that had anything to do with it. But Dallas in this weird, weird situation. Them and Philly are trying to see who can have the worst record and win the division. Just so you know, nobody has ever won the NFC East at 8-8. So we could see that. We could see that, or we could see 7-9. Either of those. We'll see how that pans out. They're both 6-7 at this point. I'll get into the Philly game in a minute. Indianapolis, 35. Tampa Bay, 38. Well, first thing I thought of is, what are the Bucs doing? But then when you watch this game, I did watch some of this game, they're playing for next year. And not like one of those, oh, the draft this or that. No. These guys are playing for jobs next year. Jameis Winston doesn't know if he's going to be retained, so he is playing to the best of his abilities. Other people, they don't know. They're trying to get spots. Miami's doing the same thing. That's why they're playing as hard as they are. But Tampa Bay gets a win. Indianapolis gets a loss. Not a good loss for Indianapolis. They're trying to keep pace with Tennessee. Miami 21, the Jets 22. My note that I wrote here was the Dolphins win by losing. Now, the first time they played, they wanted to show Gase that that he was a sham, and they're glad he's gone. So they dropped the hammer on the Jets, right? And then here, in losing by one, that means the Jets have another win. That means they might have a worse draft position. I really think Gase might be out. That just now him and Darnold aren't getting along. I really am starting to think he's not that good of a head coach. But Miami with another loss, Jets with another win. San Francisco 48, New Orleans 46. The Niners get a very important tiebreaker because the NFC is going to come down to them. You're going to have a lot of teams that are all right there at 11 or 12 wins. And the way we'll be able to determine everything will be these tiebreakers. It's why the Patriots are not looking so good because all three other division leaders have victories over the Patriots. So if it comes down to a tiebreaker, the Patriots will probably not have a top seed and will probably play in the opening round. And at this point, I'm not sure what they're going to do. But big win for San Francisco. The fact that 94 points were scored is just insane. And that New Orleans lost in New Orleans. Detroit 7, Minnesota 20. The Vikings are getting on a roll. The way they're doing that is by limiting a lot of the Kirk Cousins has to pass 40 times a game type situations. They're running the ball with Dalvin Cook. They're running the ball with other people. They're controlling the clock, and they are making sure that all Kurt has to do is make a play here or there, and it's working. So, and Detroit, I think Matt Patricia's a good coach. I don't know what they're going to have to do something to shake it up, or they're going to have to go after some people because it seems like they're regressing and going the other direction. They showed so much promise this year, and then now they're regressing. Denver 38, Houston 24. Houston stumbles a little bit, and Drew Lock is actually showing hope for the future. For Denver, he's played a couple games now. He's looked pretty decent in both. I don't know if he's the be-all end-all, but he's probably the best quarterback talent they've had in a couple years that they can actually rely on. I mean, Flacco wasn't bad, but this kid can sling it a little bit. So, big win, Denver. Washington 15, Green Bay 20. The Skins tried hard, but Rodgers and crew, they're just too much. And Green Bay is another one that tiebreakers are going to play in. You got San Francisco. You've got Seattle. You've got New Orleans. You've got Green Bay. All these teams, it's going to come down to some tiebreakers here and there. And, the Rams, if they get back in it. And, winning something like this is going to go a long way. That's another good quality win for the Packers. And Aaron Rodgers is not somebody I want to see, deep in a playoff run. As a Dallas fan, trust me. Cincinnati 19, Cleveland at 27. The Browns continue the unpredictable trend, and they almost lose to Cincinnati, who suddenly bounced back and I think wanted to beat the Browns just to beat the Browns and ruin their day. Not much else we could. I've said everything we could possibly say about the Browns. I don't know if Freddie Kitchens is back next year. Baker is continuing to be Baker. OBJ is trying to get off of this team because it's slightly more dysfunctional than the last one he was on, even though it seems like he is the common denominator. Let's see. Baltimore 24, Buffalo 17. The Ravens do just enough versus a very talented Bills team. I mean, if the Bills kind of play their cards right, I think they got to win out to do it. But if they win the last few weeks, I think they actually take the AFC East. But we'll see. But that Bills seemed very talented. Baltimore found just enough offense to get the job done. Carolina 20, Atlanta 40. The Falcons decided to pile on after the Rivera firing. Couple people got banged up here and there. Ridley is going to officially be out, and I believe Trufant is going to officially be out for the year now. There's no reason to push it. You know, if you leave it up to Ridley, he's going to go back in. So they just go ahead and put those guys on IR. Any kind of surgery or treatment they need, they can go on and get that done. But you know, Atlanta looked pretty good. Dropped another 40 burger on somebody. Whoever takes over next year is going to inherit a pretty talented team. You got to be able to put the pieces together. Chargers 45, Jacksonville 10. The Chargers take advantage of a struggling Jags team. And Gardner Minshew officially the starter from here on out. I think at this point you just see what you fully have in the kid. And, you know, if it's enough that you think you can build on and do stuff with, then obviously you shop Nick Foles in the offseason. Because you can't pay him that much to be a backup, or you shouldn't. And it's not fair to him. He should try to start somewhere because he's a starter. He just keeps getting hurt and replaced. Tennessee 42, Oakland 21. Didn't quite think it would be this lopsided. But the Titans are powering up at the right time. I told you I've been on their bandwagon since the very early parts of this season. Actually preseason. They are going to win this division. They're going to win the AFC South. I really think they are. And beating a pretty decent Oakland team is a good way to kind of pad the resume. But big wins for the Titans there. Kansas City 23, New England 16. The Chiefs do just enough. And this is the beginning of the end for the Patriots to me. Their offense has struggled. Edelman's going to miss a game or so now. So Brady is throwing to all the other people that he tries to avoid for the most part because he's not comfortable with them. They already had a struggling offense. Now Edelman's going to miss a couple games. This defense can't carry this team for an entire four quarters. So, yeah, I look for New England to barely make it into the playoffs. It'll be a 3 or 4 seed. They will probably get beat in the first round by some. Might be Buffalo. It could be Pittsburgh. One of these wild card teams, I think, is going to knock them off. And it's going to make the offseason pretty interesting. Especially New England. Pittsburgh 23, Arizona 17. Duck Hodges is good. Gosh, he's a lot better with Mike Tomlin. Turns out Mike Tomlin is a really, really, really good coach. Now, we all knew he was a pretty good coach, but what he's doing right now with a third-string quarterback and some of the other issues going on, and yet they're right there on a wild card. Mike Tomlin might be the front runner for Coach of the Year. Sunday Night Football, Seattle 12, LA Rams 28. I just don't know if Seattle just ran out of gas here lately, or if the Rams are they just dropped the hammer on the Seahawks in just a confusing win, because we didn't see this coming out of the Rams, and we didn't think Seattle would not show up like that. But it is what it is. Monday Night Football, the New York Football Giants 17, Philadelphia 23. The Eagles keep their playoff hope alive. They are now 6-7. Tied with Dallas. It's pretty much going to keep going back and forth like this. But the Giants being able to score 17 points on the Eagles it tells you that it doesn't matter who wins the division. They're probably not winning the first round anyway. And then lastly, the game last night, because it did happen, might as well talk about it. New York Jets 21, Baltimore 42. It was never this close. In fact, it was pretty out of hand by halftime. But the Ravens get their get-right game, get back on track. And the Jets actually show some promise. But the fact that Gase and Darnold got into it on the sideline might tell me all I need to know for the future there. But this Jets team is super talented. They could probably win 5, 6, 7 games on a given year. Just it comes down to coaching again, I believe. And the coach they have is not putting them in a good spot to win. Not at all. But big win for Baltimore. They needed that. Lamar Jackson has the overall quarterback rushing title for a season now. He passed Michael Vick early into the first. Congratulations to him on that. Now, let's get to the picks. Last week, I went 2-2. I told you to take Atlanta at home versus Carolina. That was a 1-0 there. I told you to take New Orleans at home versus San Francisco. Well, 49ers figured that one out. I was 1-1. I told you to take Miami on the road versus the Jets. I came down to 1 point. So two losses there, but my second win to finish 2-2. Told you to take Tennessee over Oakland. What a good call, right? I've been doing okay on this year's picks. I've been getting about 60-65% right. My college picks are the ones that have been like 70 or better. They're outstanding. But here's this week's games. Like I said, I've already picked two of them. The other two I will pick live as I read it. Houston at Tennessee. This is a division battle. This is could be for who takes it, because I think the Colts are almost out of the race. Take Tennessee at home. I've told you the whole time that that Tennessee is going to win this division. They're going to beat Houston. It's going to be a really close matchup, but Tannehill is putting them in a really good spot. Tannehill might be the best quarterback of the past 3 or 4 weeks. And this is going to be a battle. It might be the game of the day. Atlanta at San Francisco. Nothing personal, Atlanta, but you're not dropping a 40-burger on the Niners. Take the Niners at home. It's going to be closer than you think it should be. Atlanta's going to hang in there for a while. It's going to be the Shanahan revenge game, or some, I don't know, they'll try to hype it up some way like that. They have no ill will towards Shanahan, so they are not gonna try some sort of crazy revenge. No, they're gonna just play football. Buffalo at Pittsburgh. This one's rough. I like what Buffalo's been doing, but Pittsburgh has rebounded. And it's one of those, if Pittsburgh wins, then they're in a better standing for the wild card. If Buffalo wins, they're in a better standing for knocking the Patriots off. That being said, I look at Josh Allen as it's kind of a new age version, a younger version of Roethlisberger, but take Roethlisberger's actual team. Duck Hodges for the win, give me Pittsburgh. And then Indianapolis at New Orleans. Well, New Orleans needs a get-right game. I told you Indianapolis is on a slide. I believe Indianapolis is 7-9 in the last, 7 of the last 9 versus New Orleans. They ain't winning again now. Take New Orleans at home. So, for once, I actually went all home dogs on this one. Or all the home teams. To recap, take Tennessee at home versus Houston. San Francisco at home versus Atlanta. Pittsburgh at home versus Buffalo, and New Orleans at home versus Indianapolis. Hopefully you can follow along with all your picks at home, that you're doing pretty well with these. But that's going to do it for us. Appreciate everybody dropping by for another great edition of Sports Club. This one called Big Money. We talked about all those big deals in baseball, but I am Jeremy the Impact. Baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, yeah. Wobble.